Welcome back to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I believe that if you can connect with the best, you can become the best. So after creating 800 podcast episodes about building your network, I've come to realize that networking is really just making friends, if you're doing it the right way anyway. Join me as I make friends with world-class athletes like Shaquille O'Neal, entertainers like Rob Dyrdek, authors like Dr. Nicole LaPera, former presidents like Vicente Fox, or even the occasional FBI hostage negotiator, billionaire real estate mogul, or polarizing political figure. So if you want to make more friends that help you become a better version of yourself, then subscribe to the show and keep on listening, because this is Travis Makes Friends.
At It's Courtney Michelle. I'm trying to build my YouTube. I'm doing like some different sketchy stuff on YouTube in the upcoming months.
Sketchy stuff.
A lot of nudity, a lot of hair in places you've never seen hair.
Coming up on the Travis Makes Friends podcast.
You know, my mom's friends would be like, oh, she's such a pretty girl. And I would see like the girls in the Disney Channel and be like, they're pretty girls. So maybe like someone will just be like, oh, you are pretty and put me in Disney. I remember I booked a movie and the movie shot out of town for like 3 weeks. And I told my boss that I have to quit. And he goes, yeah. I shot a G-Eazy music video, dripping sweat. And it's a 3-minute song. So he's just like rapping to the camera and I just am getting profusely more and more sweaty and it's just so bad. And the song ends and I lift up my head and there's just a puddle of sweat. Had some video go viral. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually. Yeah. Is this like a career? Like, could I do this as like a thing for money?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Travis Makes Friends. Today, I'm sitting down and making friends with Courtney DeLugas. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm in Tennessee, in Nashville.
Yes, you are.
And the rain somehow is following me in every place that I've gone this week. So thank you for that, Nashville. Literally was got rained on while I was walking here. So
yeah. Well, at least it's not snowing.
Well, that's fair. Does it snow here a lot?
Oh, we had like a snow week. Which was a wild concept.
Really?
But yes. And there's no infrastructure for it.
I was going to say, that had to go very poorly.
No, we were just in our house for a week. Yeah. That's it.
Well, it's not. I just came from LA and it was also raining like crazy in LA. And they don't need snow to freak out in LA.
No, just enough. The rain.
It just like that does the trick. And yeah. All of a sudden everybody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody's driving like 23 miles an hour on the freeway and shit. It's just like,
totally.
Hey, It's water, guys. It's not that big of a deal.
It's brand new to them, though.
It is. We'll it's a foreign that. Concept out there.
For sure.
And I say that as someone that's from LA. So
yeah, I did a stint. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Courtney, thanks so much for coming on. I found your stuff online somehow. Algorithm gods started sending me stuff because I don't know. I guess they know I like funny things.
And, oh, that's very kind.
Yeah. So I watched one or two videos and was just like, this girl's hilarious. And then I was sending your videos to different people, whatever. And then one time I was just like, oh, I'll reach out, see what's up. And then now we're here.
And now we're here. Thanks for sharing. Bud.
Yeah,
appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
I know. I'm helping you with that algorithm, you know? Saves and shares. That's all that matters. That's what I hear.
I mean, and you hear correctly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
just checking.
A big one.
Just checking. Let's go back in time a little bit, Courtney, because I doubt when you talked to your career counselor in high school that you were like, I want to make videos on the internet. And
like I talked to my career counselor.
I'm already making assumptions.
Well,
let's go back in time. 10-year-old Courtney, set the scene. What was life like?
Oh, good Lord. 10-year-old me? Okay, well, do you want the Disney version or do you want the HBO Max version?
HBO Max sounds so much more interesting than Disney.
Sure. Less music, but... Yeah, I mean, 10. So I grew up in West Virginia. I'm from West Virginia originally.
It's
okay. It's okay. I survived. No, West Virginia has some very lovely people. The people are just remarkable. But yeah, pros and cons, like everything. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a college town. And the dynamic was when I was young. I mean, when I got older, it was all about partying. But when I was young, I lived in like a nicer area of the town. It's called Morgantown. I lived in a nicer area, like by the lake where all of the rich people lived, but I lived in a double wide trailer. So it was an interesting experience going to school. That was not because we were rich and chose to live in that was because we had no money, just to be clear.
Yeah, right.
Make sure I frame that correctly. but yeah, so that was an interesting dynamic to grow up kind of all of my friends had a lot of money and all of my just people in the school. So that was 10-year-old me.
What did your parents do?
Well, my mom was a secretary, kind of in and out. Her longest stint, probably when starting when I was like around 10, she worked for the local paper.
Okay.
And she was, I guess you would say, like an executive assistant to like the publisher, like the the owner of the paper, who's a lovely man. And was great at her job, crushed it. My dad, let's see, when I was 10, my dad was, I mean, he worked in construction, but, and I've talked about this, like he was in and out of jail a lot of my childhood as well, but his job was construction.
Okay.
So when he wasn't just like doing time in the slammer, he was building houses.
I see.
So I see. Man of all trades, if you will. But yeah, so it was interesting. So it was just my mom and I in this tiny little trailer, shared a bathroom. I watched her pee, really helped me get comfortable with other people's vaginas.
Yeah, that's how close you guys were.
That's how close we were. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful for that childhood in so many ways. Obviously, like, you know, there's pros and cons, again. But yeah, I think that was, and I was just, my mom was a single mom looking for love at all times. And she loved me very, very much, but I was also looking for love.
Were you only child?
I was an only child.
Okay.
Still am. Yeah. My mom's thinking about having a few more at 60, but we don't know. Play it by ear. Yeah. So I that's kind of how I describe. So I was just like constantly looking for, to join like other people's families, like other friends' families, and just trying to kind of find love and family wherever I could find it. That was, and then I was also singing and dancing whenever anyone would let me, and also slash when people wouldn't let me. That was kind of, that was the vibe.
So you were always like wanting to do some sort of performing or something?
Yeah.
Or was it just like part of your personality?
It was part of my personality. I think I was just a ham.
Yeah. No aspirations at the time, like to be like, I'm going to go be an actress.
For sure. I mean, aspiration is a big word, but it was more of like, oh, you know, and this is so gross to say, but I always thought like, you know, my mom's friends would be like, oh, she's such a pretty girl. And I would see like the girls in the Disney Channel and be like, they're pretty girls. So maybe like someone will just be like, oh, you are pretty and put me in Disney. But there was no like infrastructure in my brain of pursuing anything in the arts. I did like musical theater camp. I did dance, you know, all of that stuff. And I loved it. I loved, I mean, quite frankly, the attention. And I loved entertaining people.
Yeah.
Getting like a laugh or a clap or a whatever was huge. But it didn't, I didn't know it was a job. I didn't know it was a job until I was like in my 20s.
That like people actually did that.
Yeah.
And made money doing it.
Well, that there's like that they make money.
Yeah.
That there's like jobs. Like they don't just like, Hillary Duff doesn't just like come out of thin air and pop on TV. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, she must have just been at a mall at the right time or whatever.
That's absolutely what happened.
It actually might have been, honestly. Yeah, in the early 2000s, it might have been.
They used to do those mall casting things all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And I was always so, because they would have those total scams where you'd go to like a Marriott conference room and you'd bring, like, you have to have a professional headshot that was $500 or they would take them there.
I was gonna say, that's the upsell.
Yep. The whole package they would give you. And I was so mad because my mom would never let me do it because we couldn't afford it. I mean, it was like thousands of dollars to do these things. And I was like, why can't I do this? And looking back, it was, I'm so like, that would have done absolutely nothing. And I wouldn't have been able to like do a sport or, you know, maybe have underwear. So I'm really lucky that we never did that.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed entertaining. I enjoyed being a ham. I enjoyed.
So was it like when you were in high school and stuff, were you like just, that's for fun and now I got to focus on what do I want to do with my life? Or like, were you always college bound? Like, what was the idea for you in terms of a career and stuff in high school?
Well, you're making it, I had no frame of reference for the future. There was no plan.
Back to the whole, like, you didn't talk to a career counselor thing.
We did not talk to a career counselor. I don't know.
Well, we have that in common, so I never talked to a career counselor either.
And look at us go.
Yeah, I know.
Look at us go. The amount of advice I give on people's careers now, unwarrantedly. But the jump from, like, you know, what would you call, I guess elementary school, middle school Courtney to high school Courtney was kind of a big jump.
Okay.
And so in high school, I just wanted to be cool. I wanted to be popular. I was looking for acceptance. Again, the love thing. I was looking for love, family. And I can articulate that now. But when I was in high school, I thought that I needed to be popular. Mm. I was looking for unconditional love. And I thought that that was like, oh, if everyone, yes. I was like, if everyone is obsessed with me and thinks I'm the coolest girl ever, they'll unconditionally love me. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's how that works.
Yeah, right. I see no flaws in the logic, to be honest.
Of course. No. I still back
I'm still doing that.
100%. But yeah, so I loved the arts. I loved, again, singing, dancing, acting, all of it. But it wasn't cool by any means.
Mm, that's true.
And so that
which is weird. That's kind of a weird thing, right? Because like all of a sudden those kids that you're making fun of in high school become fucking Brad Pitt. And it's like, well,
superstars.
Who's the idiot now?
Well, and it's like the people who are in those fields, even when you're in high school, like when you're in high school and there's, you know, Rihanna or there's, again, Hillary Duff, those people are the coolest and they're in the arts. Mm-hmm. But God forbid you take a choir class.
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
You're like for real loser. So I just, that I think was what set me back. I mean, it was everything. It was all about being cool. It was who I hung out with. It was what parties I went to. It was what classes I took. It was everything. That was, and then I had a huge, another big shift because I was partying a lot. Mm-hmm. I was banging every guy and I was going to every party and I was drinking every drink. It was a wild ride. And I'm glad it happened when I was a kid, I guess, as opposed to, you know, in my early 30s.
When there's more consequences.
Yeah. For sure, for sure. Well, when I was 17, I got a DUI. Mm. It was like a felony DUI. It was a big deal. It was a big, big no-no. And I ended up having to like go to court and I was on probation and all this stuff. And I think that was a bit, I lost all my friends. My friends wanted nothing to do with me because I was a bad girl.
Sure.
All this stuff. And I think that that was my junior year of high school. And so then my senior year was like a totally new person.
Mm, interesting.
And that summer before.
Did you feel like a real internal shift because of that? Or was it more like, oh, I just have to do this because people don't accept me now or whatever?
I'm sure the impetus was the latter. Like, I'm sure it was like, oh, people don't like me. I guess I have to do something else or find other, or whatever it may be. But I think it was more, it was a lot of things too. My mom had remarried and she was married to this man who unfortunately a year after they got married, he got cancer and he was really, really sick. So it was a lot of like him kind of facing death and our family kind of facing this idea of mortality a little bit. And also me facing my, it was the first time that I actually, you know, didn't go to a career counselor, but I was thinking futuristically. Cause like if this judge at these, what are they called?
Hearings, is what they're called.
Decides that I'm a bad person, then I could go to juvie. I could go to jail. Mm. And at the time, I didn't know what I wanted to be, but one of the things in the list was like a CIA operative, you know, probably from some TV show. And I was like, well, that's out the window. So I think it was the first time that made me really, I don't know, just kind of figure out, oh, what are we doing? Like the future is a thing. The future might be, it's affected now.
Sure.
So what
are
we going to do with it? And where can we find joy? And I always found joy in that particular moment. It was like music. Hmm. And so I was writing songs with people.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, you know, I would go on these like websites and I would audition for movies. And I just got really, a lot of joy from that. And the partying kind of stopped and the promiscuity kind of stopped. And I really focused on, because at that point, nobody liked me. I had a horrible reputation. Everyone was like snickering about me in the halls. There was no coming back from it. So I was like, might as well do whatever the fuck I want to do.
So your plan kind of backfired.
One hundo. Yeah. One hundo.
Imagine that.
Never happens. Yeah. Never happens to anyone. plans always work out. But yeah, so I think that was the... Yeah. That was the high school experience then.
Yeah, well, again, you said it well, to be lucky that happened even at age 17
instead of 18.
Like, just that one, you know, whatever, however many months away from turning 18 you were.
Yes.
You know, that difference makes a pretty big difference at the time.
And I look back too, and you know, not to be whatever, but there was so many things in my favor. Like, I think about anytime I get kind of curmudgeon-y and I'm like, oh, why does everyone have all the luck in the world? I think about that specific moment. I was blacked out drunk driving. I crashed into a beer pong table that was in someone's yard, some college kid's yard, or in the driveway. There could have been people there. Yeah. I could be a murderer.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, hey, have you ever killed anyone? I could have to say yes. Mm-hmm. And that would be so weird. You know, just a whole different trajectory. And if I got really good grades in school and I was like a cute blonde girl, and I think that really played in my favor in the court system. They like didn't want me to go to jail. Mm. All of that shit. I'm so lucky that I didn't have a different route before that happened.
Yeah.
And that worse things didn't happen.
Well, you're dealing with some heavy, heavy shit.
For sure.
Like, it's not like, you know what I mean? Like, you're with your dad being in out of jail and then your stepdad getting cancer immediately after like marrying your mom. Like, you're dealing with some like real adult things at this point.
Yeah.
And probably grew up very fast in the subsequent years.
For after sure. That happened. Well, I look back and I'm like, well, yeah, no shit. No wonder we were drinking. Like, we were just like, anything besides this reality. Well,
also, again, like, I'm genuinely not talking shit on West Virginia. I have nothing against West Virginia. Please but do. In those areas, in those towns, like, that's why people drink. There's nothing else to do. You know, like, you go to high school, like, you're surrounded by just like forests or whatever. Or if you're in Iowa, it's just cornfields. You know what I mean? It's just like, what else do? You go drink and you hang out and, like, you know, you drink and do something in addition to drinking that would not be fun if you weren't drunk.
For sure.
You know, like,
for sure.
Throw rocks at a pole or some shit. You know what I mean?
Like, for sure. And I will say, like, I kind of had a combination of both, because I wouldn't say that my town was like a small, small town. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a smaller town than, you know, Nashville or whatever.
Sure.
But it's a college town, and it's a college town in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So it is all just drinking. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast at college. But when you're in high school and you can go to the same bars as college kids and you can hang out with, when you're 17, you're hanging out with your friends who are, you're hanging out with the boys who are 3 years older than you, who are now in college.
Yeah.
It's just it's a wild ride. There's way too much ease of access to things that you should not have access to.
Right.
At a
right.
young, I mean, I had a fake 21 at 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
It was wild.
The bouncer just did not give a shit.
Did not give a shit.
When you're 15, you obviously don't look 21.
No.
Right? I mean, like, there's no confusing that. You're also, just like, nah, whatever.
No, I definitely did not look like I did not handle any. There was no 21-ness about me.
Got some Claire's earrings on or some shit.
Sure. I'm like still wearing limited two. Like, there was all the flags were red.
Yeah.
And they still, because you pay that $20 cover and they don't give a shit. They're all like, right. Oh, yeah, come on in. Yeah. You can buy drinks at the bar. And if we get shut down, we'll just change the name of the person on the liquor license and call it a day. So it's an interesting environment to grow up in. I'm so grateful for so much. And I love that town so much. Mm-hmm. But I think it definitely fed. If it wasn't the daddy issues and the stepdaddy issues and the mommy issues, I think it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. It just, like, mm-hmm. you know, it fuels everything.
Yeah, sure. And what's interesting about like social interactions in that context is like everything in your life was fueled by the desire to be like loved and accepted by everybody. And this is like one thing I've thought about a lot recently as an adult, because you're not supposed to care what other people think about you, right? Mm-hmm. But also, in some sense, that's how we operate as adults, as people in a society. Like, you kind of have to do things that other people are okay with and in like the broader societal expectations of you. And that's how you learn to get along with people, to build good relationships and stuff like that. You can't just do whatever you want and not give a shit about anybody ever thinks, because then that leads to like just loneliness that's not your choice. Loneliness just because people don't want to be around you. You know what I mean? And it's like, totally. Well, to some extent, you do need to care what people think. It's just a matter of like, care about the right things that people think about me, care about the right people and what they think about me, and not what everybody thinks. Like, there's so much more nuance You know what I mean? To that broad blanket statement that everybody likes to make, just don't care what people think about you. It's like, first of all, that's impossible.
Yeah.
We're like hardwired evolutionarily.
Let me just hit that switch real quick. Give me a second.
That's like how we survived as tribes like thousands of years ago. It's like people have to like you or you die.
Yeah.
We kind of are wired to be that way, you know, but then also it's not a bad thing to care about what some people think about you, because that's how you end up, you know, being like, well, now nobody wants to be around me. Mm-hmm. So, and that as a 16-year-old was probably a really powerful lesson to learn, because, or 17-year-old, because then it's like, oh, I can't just do whatever I want and have people still be like, oh, Courtney, she's cool. You know what I mean? It's like, it was immediate feedback, I guess is what I'm saying. Like feedback that your actions were not going to be like, you know, good actions moving forward for long term.
I think it was my first, and I did not learn this, it did not cement in my brain, but I think it was the first kind of instance of you can't please everyone, because I was trying so hard. I was like, everyone will like me, all the boys will be in love with me, all the girls will want to be my best friend, blah, 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 blah. And it just made me realize that if you're trying to please everyone, you actually won't please anyone. And I don't think I didn't have the vernacular to be able to say that. I wasn't articulating it then when I was 17. But yeah, like I was trying so hard to be cool. And also, this is when I started learning, and again, didn't cement it much later, but like nobody wants to be around someone who's cool. Mm. Like if basically what you're trying to do is get people to be jealous of you, or get people to think that you are better than them, mm-hmm. when you're trying to be cool. And why would you want to make people feel that way about you?
Right.
And I think it was the first time that I was like, oh, this system isn't working that I have. So again, it ended up being more like, let me just do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then people who I made a really good friend. She had just moved to the school, which was great for me. I was like, oh, you know, none of the, the sexually derived nicknames about me. Incredible.
We should be friends.
There's no preconceived notions you have about me. And God bless her. Even when she was told, she was like, that's okay. And we're still friends today. I saw her last weekend.
Oh, really? Nice.
Because I think it was the first year that I actually was able to kind of be a better version of myself, or at least just like a version of myself. Yeah. I mean, that was I started working out that summer. I started like reading books that summer. It was like just a wild, you just learn a lot. Just fun of these like pivotal moments you have in life.
Oh yeah.
Suck in the moment, but they're great looking back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So college, you stayed in West Virginia for college?
I did.
And went to that same, the college in the same town?
Why not? Why? You know what I mean? Didn't do anything wrong. I love it there. Yeah, no, I wanted to leave for sure. But they have this lovely thing in West Virginia where if you get like a 3.5 in school, I don't know if they still have it, then you get to go to school for free. Mm. And
that's helpful.
It's so helpful. Yeah. And again, like my mom, there was no college fund. Mm-hmm. So it was either me take out a bunch of loans and go somewhere new where I would be scared and poor all at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think because of my SAT scores or something, I got like a small scholarship to go to West Virginia.
Okay.
And all my friends were going, so it made sense. So I went and there were moments of high school all over again. I'm not going to say that it was like that I grew that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Well, you still got to have fun.
Yeah, right? I had a great time. I had such a great time. And I will say college is where I learned that I was funny. Mm. Like, I don't think I'd ever really established that I had like a funny thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was in a sorority, which is shocking looking at me, I know. But I was in a sorority and I loved those girls, and we would have our little meetings and I would give like a speech or whatever, and I'd throw in some ziggers, not yeah. ziggers.
Zingers.
Zingers.
You got real close.
Throwing in some ziggers. And I'd get this immediate feedback of people laughing. And I'm like, ooh, what is this?
There's like no better feeling.
No better feeling. It is a drug. If I could choose one drug in the world, it would be that.
You kind of are. choosing.
Right, but
drug.
Like if that was the only drug I could get, all the other drugs are still an option for me. I'm just living the greatest life ever.
To be clear.
I want to do all the drugs.
I actually get access to all of them, but if I had to stick with one.
Exactly.
It would be
gun to my head, choose one. It's that feeling. And that was the first time that I felt it. And I think that went hand in hand with probably a little bit of what happened in college. My stepdad passed away. And my mom started dating somebody else, and she moved to Pennsylvania. So I kind of had, I was in the same town that I'd always been in, but I had a little bit less.
You had some separation there.
Separation and like a little less of a comfort zone or something. And I love my mom more than anything in the world. My mom's a very big personality. And I think having a little bit of distance in those formidable years, I was able to kind of grow more into my bigger personality.
Sure.
And I just... I loved college so much.
Your mom sounds like she's a savage. Like
woman has been through so much.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Just from the like 3 minutes that we've talked about her,
she's been through a lot.
Good job, mom. Good job.
She hasn't always picked the best men, and she will tell you that herself.
Seemingly.
But she, she's been through so much. And that was like crazy for her because when my stepdad got cancer, he didn't have health insurance because he was like a salesman at the time. And so like my mom got like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt because of it. And just like had to deal with that. I mean, she's been through so much, but she's great now. She's the happiest person ever. She's retired. She golfs all day.
Nice.
She's crushing it.
Does she still live on the East Coast?
She lives in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, nice.
On a golf course.
Good for her.
We went there all the time for vacation. And she moved there. Nice. And I go, good for you.
That's the dream right there.
Living the dream. Yeah. So yes, a savage is a good word to describe it, but more, I would just say like just a badass and a strong woman. Yeah.
What did you study in college besides drinking?
Blowjobs. what did I study? I'm trying to remember what I started with, but I ended up doing advertising.
Okay.
And then you have to choose a minor when you do advertising that's outside the school. Randomly advertising is a school of journalism. It doesn't matter. But you have to choose a minor outside of that school.
Okay.
Which I think is actually a great idea. At the time I was like, this is stupid. But so I think I chose marketing and I got bored and then I did theater.
Okay.
And so I got a degree in advertising and a minor in theater, which was honestly a huge step because it was kind of embarrassing to go into like theater classes.
Sure.
But I loved it so much. Graduated. What's the one that's not super, super high, but in the middle?
I don't know.
I
didn't go to a real college, so.
What is
cum
it?
Laude? Cum laude?
Cum laude.
Something like that.
Summa.
Save us, producer.
Summa cum laude, something like that. Whatever the middle one is.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. Which obviously led to a plethora of opportunity post-college.
Oh my God. They were knocking down my door.
Yeah. Everybody was like, we need an advertising person. But only if they minored in theater.
If they minor in theater. You never know. We're going to have to promote Broadway. It was so hard finding a job. But I found a job. I was like, I wanted to get out of Morgantown for one. Yeah. I knew that was a thing. I had my first real boyfriend. Awful relationship, as it should have been at 21. And we had just, he had dumped me and I was just devastated. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to get married and be together for the rest of our lives.
Have babies.
And immediately have babies. It was great. He had my whole life planned out. It was perfect. I'm so excited about it. And so I just was like, that happened. I've been in this town for so long. I got to get out. And I had never been anywhere. I mean, we went to Myrtle Beach for vacation and I auditioned for American Idol that summer in New York. That was it. I'd never gone anywhere. I think maybe I went to Disneyland once. I was like, I don't know where to go. I'm so scared. And I'd been to Myrtle Beach I've been to Miami. Very different.
Yeah. It's basically the same. It's interchangeable.
Same vibes. I've been to Miami twice for spring break. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll just move to Miami. And I looked for jobs in Miami and I found one and it was marketing for a commercial real estate company.
Okay.
And so I was still in Morgantown and I go, okay. And they called me for an interview in like 2 weeks. I go, great. And I packed my bags and then I drove down to Florida and I was like, I guess I'm moving to Florida for this interview. And luckily, my friend, the person that we'd stayed with on spring break, it was like a friend's cousin or whatever. They had this beautiful house in this like gated community where like Enrique Iglesias lived. And they were like, oh, you can live with us for free if you nanny for our kid. And I go, great. I'm horrible with kids, but let's go.
Yeah.
And I get down there and I'm staying with them and I'm getting ready to like figure out or getting ready to find out about the interview and they ghost me. And so now I have no job prospects and I'm just in Miami. And I don't know if you know, Miami is not a cheap little city.
No.
It's you need the money.
That's right.
And shockingly at 22 years old, I had not a lot of money saved at all.
And they don't take ambition as currency, unfortunately.
They don't. Man, would we be rolling high.
I'm trying.
I know. One day.
We'll I'm like, yeah, but I really want to have money. And sure, they're like, sure. Yeah, but that doesn't work here.
Yeah. You know? Wish it. What is it? Wishes in one hand and shit in the other?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't understand that saying, but I always say it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's true.
It makes all the sense in the world that I don't understand it. So I was in Miami, no job. Eventually, they called back and I ended up doing the job, but it was just not for me. I did it for about a year. I was making 30K living in Miami, nice. doing marketing, but I was just like making posters.
Yeah, yeah. If you're making 30K doing marketing, you're not doing marketing.
You're not doing marketing.
Yeah.
And it was a small company and just wasn't my vibe. And so I was like bartending to just like pay rent. And I met this guy who, through a friend of a friend who was a professional at the time. He was like a professional actor, but he like did background work as like a job.
Okay.
And it was the first time that I'd met someone who had, that wasn't like a movie star.
Yeah,
not that I'd met movie stars. Right. It was the first time I met anyone who was like doing a job in
they were like an
art.
Actual actor.
Yes.
And like that there was a difference between making like $7,000 a month as an actor versus $7 million for every movie you do.
Exactly.
And, like, there's a lot of people that are in this like gray area that exists for between sure. zero and a million. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he was making $7,000 a month,
yeah.
but
he was making something though.
He was making something, that yeah. man was.
And it wasn't porn, right?
Well, and if it was, he was a handsome man and we love that for him and his viewers. I have no idea, so he kind of connected me with these like companies that help you be extras on set, essentially, or background mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And I went to I remember I got a call to be on like a beer commercial for, and it wasn't even in English. And I was like, oh, okay. And I show up and I spend the whole day on set. I had to call in sick from work. Best day ever. This was after like 8 months of just being miserable at this job. Just like really like holding on by a thread. I was drinking a lot. Just wasn't happy. And I had the best day ever. And it really was like, oh, fuck this. Whatever this community is of people making shit, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be in. And the acting was the first route. And I did a few more of those things as like background. And then I got an agent and I started auditioning. And I remember I booked a movie and the movie shot out of town for like 3 weeks. And I told my boss at the agency or at the real estate agency, like, this is what I want to do. And I have to quit. And he goes, yeah. Yeah. He was very, very supportive.
Correct.
He was like, no, you can't work here anymore, obviously. And just like take a month off. But he was really, really supportive. I'll never forget. Because I didn't have time to give like a 2 weeks notice. I didn't, whatever. He might have actually said this one because I asked to go part-time too. I don't remember when he said it, but he said, yes, I want you to pursue your dreams. And because I would hope that my children's bosses would give them that opportunity as well. It's a really nice, I'm not necessarily sure that he had to like spell it out for me like that, but it did stick with me. And then I never went back to that job. I shot that movie. It was the best experience in the entire world. And I was like, okay, I'm moving to LA and I'm pursuing the arts as like a thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's a thing you can pursue. And so we're doing it.
So you moved to LA.
So I moved to LA.
From Miami. Mm-hmm. Had you been to LA before?
No. No. Oh my God, it was so scary.
Yeah.
The one-way ticket with a couple bags packed and your car being shipped off on this like, you know, truck just like somewhere in Iowa, like, you know, on the plane. I was so nervous. I had no real friends. I had one friend that I knew and thank God we ended up being roommates for 3 years. But I didn't really know anyone. I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no money still. like just had never learned the concept of saving money. I was just like, oh, I'll figure it out. It was so scary, but it was the best thing I ever did because I fully committed to what I wanted to do.
Did you have a place to live before you moved out there?
Barely. My friend, who I met in Miami, she moved out there and is still out there and she's crushing it. She's a music supervisor. She's so insanely talented. She had an apartment in LA and it was a studio apartment.
Yeah.
And so for like a month and a half, we slept together in the same bed every night. And then woke up and shared a bathroom. She is the entire reason I exist to this day because she was so giving. We ended up, again, living together. We found an apartment together and lived together for almost 3 years. Hmm. So I'm so grateful for her. But yeah, for the first month and a half, that's what I did. And my car was like lost or something.
Of course.
And like, when it arrived, someone had stolen all of my headshots. And I was like, these are so expensive to print.
They are.
Just starting from zero here.
Yeah,
But yeah, LA. I mean, how long did you live there?
I grew up in, well, so.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in LA County. So when I say I'm from LA, I'm actually from a town called Lancaster, which is like an hour and a half north of LA.
Yes, I shot a G-Eazy music video in Lancaster.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you've had the unfortunate mispleasure of being in Lancaster before.
I really liked it. I mean, we were in the middle of like the desert of Lancaster.
That's all desert.
Yeah. I mean.
That's the whole town.
Yeah. It was. But what a sweet.
No, it's not a bad spot to grow up.
Yeah.
Just because of what I tell people is like Lancaster is great for everywhere else that isn't Lancaster, if that makes sense. It's
no,
like the proximity that Lancaster has to doing whatever you want to do.
Sure.
In the playground of Southern California. It's like,
sure.
You know, we're like an hour and a half from Big Bear. We're an hour from Santa Monica. We're, you know, like we can go basically anywhere and do basically anything, 3 hours something from Yosemite.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's not bad in that context. And in the sense of living in California and specifically LA County, like it's probably the cheapest way that you can live there is by being in Lancaster. So the whole town's basically made up of people who commute to LA. And then there's a lot of aerospace out there, like Edwards Air Force Base out there, Northrop and Lockheed and stuff like that. So
yes,
a lot of aerospace people and then a lot of commuters and then a lot of meth heads. That's like
the three
groups of people.
And the G-Eazy music video shoot.
And G-Eazy music video. That's hilarious that was in Lancaster. I have to go look at that.
It was a great time. We had a great little time. We made out. It was a whole thing.
With G-Eazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. He was
good
lovely.
For you.
He was a little tipsy. It was great.
How many times did you have to shoot that scene?
How many times did you make it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is going a different direction.
Just be like, oh, I screwed that one up. Let's do another take.
Yeah. it was so interesting. That whole music video, I'd never done like a legit music video. There's so many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But it was.
What year was this?
Oh, God. This was 20, when I was still a young spry. 2017,
okay.
I want to say. He was hot. Like,
he still is.
He was very attractive.
Clear. Yeah.
But he was also just like popping on. Like, he was just like in a hot spot.
That's what I was going to say. He was like, at the time, was like kind of up and comer, or was he already kind of at the top of that point?
He was rising.
Yeah.
He had done some stuff. He'd had some stuff pop, and he was rising. And I was very intimidated and very scared. The one story I will say, and this was like still whatever to this day cringes me out. There was a scene where I had to lay the whole thing was like it's like six music videos in one to like make a short film was kind of the vibe. And it was really well done. And I was playing the like cute girlfriend that he was like cheating on with his bad G-Eazy persona with this other just like smoke show video vixen chick. She was so hot. And there was a scene where we were laying in bed and I have to like put my head on his chest while he raps. And we're in Lancaster. It's July and we're in a little room with no air conditioning.
So it's about 112 degrees in there.
At least.
Yeah.
You could have fried an egg, okay, on the bread.
On his chest.
for sure. Because I'm a sweater. I'm a big sweater. Like the minute... And I'm already nervous. I'm like already like the sweat glands are primed. I'm ready to go. I'm on his chest, pretending to be asleep, dripping sweat. And it's a 3-minute song. So he's just like rapping to the camera. And I just am getting profusely more and more sweaty. And it's just so bad. And the song ends. And I lift up my head. And there's just a puddle of sweat. And I look at this man. And he looks like he just did like a 10 minutes in the cryo chamber.
Yeah.
Like there is not a drop of sweat on him. I don't know what's wrong with his body. I hope he's okay physically. Everybody else was sweating that wasn't on camera.
Yeah. And to set the stage here, if you haven't been to Lancaster, it's hot as hell in July.
It's so hot.
It is the desert of Southern California. It literally, like legitimately was probably 108 outside. And if there's no air conditioning, like that is wild that he wasn't sweating.
Thank you so much.
I got your back, Courtney.
Thank you. Yeah. And there was like 40 people in the room and it's like body on body. It's like naked. I'm like in a bra. So it's like naked body on body, like already smoking.
Right.
And so I just, and then the poor makeup person or prop person, someone was like, I don't know what we're going to do. And they took this huge freezing ice pack and they shoved it in my crotch. And I guess that's like where you cool down the fastest is like that, the artery maybe.
Okay.
I don't know how it works, but if you're ever hot, like really hot, put a cold pack in between your legs, like near your crotch. And I was able to make it through the 3.5-minute song without sweating.
Wow. So they had to like retake it just because of the sweat?
For sure.
He do when he like just like saw a big puddle of sweat on his chest?
I mean, he was nice about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I also didn't give him the space to like be mean about it because I was very much like, oh my gosh. And I made a big thing. You know what I mean? Like I was very much like,
let me make fun of myself first before anybody else does.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Smart.
Which is shocking, I'm sure, this conversation. But yes. And then we made it through. But that was just... I was like, oh, we're not going to get married because that's going to be a real damper in our marriage.
That's your time in Lancaster.
That was my time in Lancaster. Yeah, it was a great time.
Seems like a pretty solid memory to me.
It's pretty great. Yeah. It was pretty great, actually. But
so I don't even remember how we got. Oh,
yeah. Where did we go?
So I said I'm from LA and then I was actually from LA. I'm from Lancaster, but it's just easier to say I'm from LA because typically nobody knows where Lancaster is. So,
well, isn't that so fun that I did?
It's so fun. Yeah. And had a great story to boot.
Great story. Oh my gosh. 10 out of 10. I'm crushing it. But yeah, I was in LA for 5 years. Almost 6.
Okay. So I think where that came from is you were about to say something about where you were living in LA or something. Cause you said, how long were you in LA? You asked me that as like a,
I love when people on podcasts totally forget their train of thought. It is just great content.
We'll clip this. It'll perform really well.
Please. And
just us kind of looking at the camera like
just,
that.
What were we talking about? Crickets.
Something about living in LA. But where were you in LA? Because LA is obviously a massive, massive place. I grew up there, and some people will be like, "Oh yeah, I'm from LA too," and I'm like, "Oh cool, where?" And they tell me like the name of the city, and I'm like, "No idea." No idea.
Well,
I've there for 30 years. I have no idea. 20 years.
The first couple of years, I was in Mid City, and no one knew where Mid City was. Mm. So I will say that. Do you know where Mid City is?
Nope.
Still rains true.
Is it an actual city or a town?
So I'm not sure how. I think like maybe the real estate agent told us it was Mid-City.
Okay.
I don't even know how to describe it.
That's the thing, right? It's like Los Angeles, right? It's like Los Angeles County, and then like there's a city of Los Angeles, and then there's a crazy amount of cities all around the area.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then there's some that are like more like towns than they are real cities. So like your address would still technically be Los Angeles, but everybody knows it as something else. You know, it's kind of confusing. Yep.
It's very confusing, but I think I've gotten kind of used to it. If you live in a city that has more than like 10 stoplights, then there's going to be like suburbs or like sub
developments or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. Just like areas of town.
So yeah.
Just
so
you
Vegas
can
is.
Navigate it and say where things are, blah, 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 blah. Just for like societal reasons. So I get it. And LA is so huge that there's so many of them. But Mid-City was like, it was in between West Hollywood and Culver City, but like very much like in the middle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great street. A very affordable housing.
Yeah.
AKA not a great street.
Right. Well, affordable too. You know, like nothing in LA is affordable, but as affordable as LA can be.
Yeah. Relatively affordable, exactly. There was three of us living in like a little apartment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was my first apartment. And I'm actually really grateful for it because it was I had two roommates and they were amazing and it felt like a family, right? What I'm always searching for. And just spending time with them was really, really great. But yeah, we had the top of the street was closed down, pretty sure like a drug dealer situation. Across the street was a very large family who would have a party every single weekend till 3 a.m. And they put my partying to shame. I felt like such a loser living there because they'd have karaoke. They always had a microphone, somebody like some host of their party.
That's so much worse.
It was awful. More power to them. They're doing great. But yeah, it was honestly a typical first year in Los Angeles. Yeah, so sure. Broke. I was just like doing odd jobs, barely able to pay rent.
Did you go get like a job or anything to make more money, or were you always working in the business somehow?
Oh, please, working in the business. I was dressing up like a rabbit and handing out chocolate milk, if you want to call that in the business. I was just whatever job could pay money where I could still audition.
Yeah.
And
gigs,
I could still,
not jobs. Gigs, yeah, yeah.
100%. I had a little stint where I had an actual job a few years later, but no, it was always just gigs.
Yeah.
I drove Uber for a little bit.
And how long were you in LA for? 3 years, you said?
No, five, almost six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So when did you come out here?
2020.
2020. Was it because of the pandemic or just kind of happened to be around that time?
Kind of. I was dating a guy and we were long distance in 2019 and I would like go visit him and he would come visit me and we would just kind of visit each other once a month. And it was just my turn to go visit him in March of 2020 here in Nashville. And it happened to be the weekend that the entire country shut down. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, maybe I won't fly home right now. I'll just push it back. And I kept a good old Southwest flight. I just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until it was August. And we were like, I guess we just move in together. And I guess I get rid of my apartment in LA. I guess that's what we're supposed to do.
That's definitely the way to move in with somebody.
It was so exciting.
By default.
Yes. No. We were very excited about it. But yeah. And then I just kind of ended up, I got stuck and then I stayed. But I love it here.
I was going to say, it's not a bad place to stay.
No. And I'm so grateful too. I think of all these people who spent the pandemic like alone in LA.
Yeah.
And
the worst.
So much power. Because I mean, my ex and I were not like a wonderful relationship by any means, but at least I had somebody. And
yeah,
I wasn't like insanely lonely the whole time and talking to myself.
So when did you start getting more, aggressive with creating on social media? Was that intentional? Were you like, I want to pursue
this? Do you think I'm aggressive
this?
About it?
No, I just mean like when you started posting, like there's a difference between like, oh, let me post a video and like, I'm going to like post videos
all the time. Sure. Like when did I commit to it? Yeah. I had started doing stuff on TikTok in like 2019.
Okay. Just for fun.
Just for fun. Yeah. I mean, I think I listened to a Gary Vee podcast and I was like, oh, he's like TikTok
content.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And so I just started, it was by no means content that I'm proud of, but I had a video go viral like the end of 2019. And that never happened. I didn't even create content. I was just like an actor and trying to do some writing. It's like, I had no idea. I wasn't making anything for people to see. Mm-hmm. And then I had some video go viral and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually. Yeah. And I was talking to my boyfriend at the time and I was like, is this like a career? Like, could I do this as like a thing for money? And that was the first seed that was planted. Mm-hmm. And then I would just do it here and there, nothing crazy. And then the pandemic hit and like many people, I just was like, I have so much time on my hands. I had booked this commercial in February. And it was a national commercial. I don't know how much you know about national commercials, but they pay residuals. And so literally all of 2020, I just was getting paid residuals. I didn't have to get a job or anything, nice. Which is, I say that because it was not the same experience as other people. And I'm very, very lucky to have had that and to be able to just start posting on TikTok.
Stellar timing.
Incredible timing. It was a cat litter commercial. And I've never been more grateful for Catch It in my life.
You and my dog. Yeah. It was about the two groups of people that are grateful for cat litter or cat poop.
Why does your dog like cat poop?
That's a good question. Well, it's not my dog now. It was my dog growing up. And I don't know what it was, but we always would catch her just eating cat shit.
Eating cat shit?
Out of the fucking the litter box.
Oh, I'm curious.
Like with like the little, cat litter things on it.
The litter on it.
Yeah, it was almost like sprinkles or something. I don't know what it was.
Oh my gosh.
She just fucking loved it.
Wow, yeah. That's fascinating. It's like deep fried almost a little bit.
Right, yeah. That's a little extra.
That's disgusting.
Seasoning on there.
Did you kiss your dog in the mouth?
Absolutely not. No, I still don't do that with my current dog. Yeah. She tries though. All the time.
Yeah, they love a kiss in the mouth.
Oh,
who
yeah.
doesn't? I get it.
To be fair, yeah, that's actually true. But yeah. No, she's incessant though. My dog now, she's like, I'm pretty sure she has OCD. You know, she just is like constantly, no matter who it is, she just like starts licking. She likes to kiss. So
big licker.
Yeah,
we love it. We love to see it.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's better than them being weird and.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's super loving. Yeah. I make her sound annoying because she is annoying, but also she's the best.
But you would take a bullet for her.
Absolutely. Yeah, same. She's the best.
Yeah, same for my dog too. But yeah, and then we're going to go back to what I was talking about, and I'm going to seamlessly start talking about it in 5, 4, 3.
As if nothing happened.
As if nothing happened. So, TikTok. So
being grateful for cat shit.
Grateful for cat shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I just started posting in 2020, and it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to post because I'd never done it. I didn't like, I also didn't come up in the comedy space. I'd done like UCB a little bit and a few of those comedy things.
What's
but
that?
Like improv.
Oh, okay.
Like I'd done some, like a lot of the people who are really successful have like a background in comedy when they start kind of doing anything, but especially creating content on the internet. I didn't have that. So I didn't have like characters. I didn't know what kind of stuff to write. When I first started doing it, it was just all lip sync. So okay. I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like trends and audio stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It was all audio stuff. And it was just like, how do you get your audio to go viral? And so I think I was doing it consistent-ish and having some growth. But I think I honestly didn't really figure out what I wanted to do and like what my lane was until probably like 2022. So it was like 2 years of just kind of free falling. Mm-hmm. And then 2022 was the year where I kind of picked a lane. And then I started making some money off of it. And then I feel like it's just kind of
just purely from TikTok
slowly grown. Yeah, it was TikTok. And then, you know, Instagram started and mm-hmm. I was still doing some commercials and I still was doing stuff like that as well. But yeah, I started getting like a few brand deals here and there to kind of fill the, I think I was still making cat litter money in 2022, honestly.
Nice.
So grateful.
Just printing that cat litter money.
So grateful. Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of the trajectory. And then obviously the past like 6 months, I've been really trying to kind of expand with what I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. That's so, not obvious. I don't know why I said obviously, but for me, it's obvious, but that's what's
happening. Well, talk to me about that then. What do you got next? Like, what is this something now that you're fully pursuing full time, like the creator stuff versus acting? Or is it you're kind of still doing both and they both help each other? Or what's the strategy there?
I think it's so funny because like when I first moved to LA, if you were someone who was making like Instagram videos or Vines, you were not legit.
Correct.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like in the acting community, mm-hmm. it was like, oh my God, I would never do that.
Right.
I'd be like, oh my gosh, if you ever see me making Instagram videos, shoot me.
Yeah. Right.
Then please don't. I said that too. but it was, I think it was just very different.
It was looked at as like hacky.
It's very hacky.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because all those people are so successful now. Right. But I just
think that's what it takes, right? It's literally that's the cycle. It's
cringe
like
cringe your way to the top.
Exactly. Well, right. Exactly. When something first starts, everybody talks shit about it. And then a couple people do it very well, become extremely successful, and then everybody goes, oh, I guess it's okay.
Yep.
You know? When it's hard to argue with like Logan and Jake Paul when it's like, oh, well, it's pretty cool that you were like fighting in SummerSlam WWE the same night your brother was fighting a legit fighter in boxing and you guys are both selling millions of pay-per-view tickets. Like, it's hard to argue with that.
Yep.
You know
there's,
what I mean?
Like, there's
actually kind of good job. You
yeah,
know?
Like, for sure. Yeah. And I think the lines have definitely blurred as far as like the Hollywood crossover as well.
Yeah.
I think we're still kind of, you know, there'll always be like the older gatekeepers who still kind of want to keep it separate. But I feel
for
like-
For
now, of course. Everyone does. Because
they're really old.
Yeah. Everyone kicks the can. But I think, so for me to answer your question, that was a long-winded way of just saying like, I'm hoping that it all feeds together. Because I'm a much better actor than I am a content creator. Which is wild because I'm making.
Why do you say that?
I've been doing it for 10 years. I've been an actor
Like, what would you define though as like an act? Like, how would you differentiate between an actor and a content creator?
If you give me a script to break down and act in front of you, I feel more comfortable doing that.
Got it.
And I feel like a little more secure in that craft, if you will, okay, than creating, like, than like the branding and everything that goes behind a content creator.
Got it.
I'm learning it, and I'm obviously, it's pretty much the only way I'm making money right now. I'm not really making money from acting.
It's so more like kind of owning your small business, being a content creator, versus like acting is like, I do this one piece of the entire puzzle and somebody else puts those pieces together into a project.
For sure. And I also write and do filmmaking and stuff like that too. So that I also do creation of like more long form stuff. Mm-hmm. Not getting any money for it, but that's like, it's all a goal. Like my big goals, like I want an EGOT. You know what an EGOT is?
I've heard of it.
Okay. But Emmy, Grammy, Oscar. Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's going to be hard.
Tony's a difficult one.
Tony's going to be a hard one to get. but we'll get there. I want to create a show, and I also want to have a product, and I want to do it all. I want to have a production company that helps other people put their films and TV shows and content and all that stuff. Great. And I'm hoping the lines, they're definitely starting to blur, where you see people who are mainly in content and mainly or influencers, whatever they may be, definitely crossing over into more of a space, because the views you get, and then I'm not, this has been said to death, but it is true. The views you get on social media outweigh the views that most TV shows and movies get by tenfold.
Well, and as a production company, the biggest gap in production is distribution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there's a plenty of production companies that can make really high quality stuff, but getting it seen by people is the most difficult part of the business, you know? Absolutely. And so if you have this built-in distribution engine, you know what I mean? Like, that's extremely helpful. I would assume from like, I'm not in the business or whatever, but I just, you know, I'm not dumb. I feel like you can look at that and be like, if we're looking at these two people, this one, you know, that like King Batch is in a bunch of these different types of movies and roles. And he's not like he's the leading man or whatever, but he gets like some really great roles and stuff. And I have to think he's a great actor. I'm not taking anything away from him. But also, if you have 25 million Instagram followers to be like, hey, check out my role in this movie, then that's like literally just free advertising for that production.
Well, and Hollywood's so obsessed with IP. It's so obsessed with intellectual property. That's why, you know, the Marvels and the whatever. And I think right now they're finally starting to realize that content creators and influencers and people with these numbers are IP in themselves.
Yeah.
And I love that. That was kind of the whole reason I started doing it, was to be like, oh, I can create myself as IP and maybe be able to pitch what I want to do and be able to get into rooms that I would never have been able to get into as someone who has no platform. And then if I get to make people laugh and feel seen or whatever the fuck in the meantime, make some money, great. But it all feeds it all together. And yeah, there's these amazing content creators and comedians who are finally able to showcase their talent that they might not have gotten the opportunity to do. And they're getting roles and they're working. And it's just, so incredible.
I had that conversation literally a couple days ago in LA with this guy. His name is Zach Justice. I don't know if you know him or follow him at all, but he's got a podcast called Dropouts. And it has just gone really well. Started around the same time, making some videos, doing some stuff. And then just stuff started going really well. And then we were just talking on the podcast the other day. And he got a script that was like funded, and he's going to be the you know, starring role in the script that he wrote and whatever. And it's like, it was clearly like a direct correlation to them being able to see that there's evidence that people like this version of the character that I am on these videos, you know what I mean? And so people are using it. And that's what I told him, was just like, it's so cool to be able to do that, because you're letting the market decide. You're not letting the gatekeepers decide. It's like, it's not up to them. It's up to if the market accepts it. And they know that too. It's not like it's a battle. They're not upset about it. It's just like, those are the facts. You know, like, their job is to sell shit, not just to create it. You know what I mean? So like, there's a lot of people vying for funding for their scripts. There's a lot of people trying to get good directors. There's a lot of people with good projects and good ideas. But ultimately, if you can also sell a little bit of it and you have some proof that people like what you're doing, it makes everything just a little bit easier. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And why not give yourself the edge if you can?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there's just, some really, really talented people. And then I'm like, I want to see that person in a movie. I want to see that person make a movie. I want to see that person write their own TV show. I want to see that person in a reality show, whatever it may be. I want to see that person host something.
Yeah.
Like I myself have people that I'm rooting for. And I think that's just wonderful. And I hope that it just continues to grow and the lines just completely cross over and there's no lines anymore. And it's just all in one.
Yeah.
Cause it's how we consume stuff anyways. We're watching TikTok while we're watching movies anyway. Like it's all together anyways.
In the age of streaming platforms, man, it's going to be wildly different in 10, 20, 30 years. And that's why Quentin Tarantino came out and was like, yeah, this is my last movie. It's like, things are just different now. And I don't really like how it's going, but you know, it's going the way that it's going. And this is going to be my last film, you know, because like even people that are like legendary like him are looking at it. The landscape is a completely it's wildly different.
I think he'll still do stuff. It just will be different. I think so. Look different.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so, as a fan of his movies. They're so good.
I think that when you're someone like Quentin Tarantino or these people that are just like legit artists,
he's like artists. Yeah.
Like I know people who know him and I know people vaguely who know him and they would like sit around and watch movies and take notes and talk about the movie all day. And they would pop another movie in, they would take notes and they would sit around and talk. He loves movies so much. And I think these like legit artists, these pure artists, they can't not make art. Mm-hmm. They'll go crazy. Right. I feel like I'm in that same camp. I'll go crazy if I don't make art.
That's what we're hoping, right? Is like, I think he'll just have like a little bit of a mourning phase, you know, to like mourn what's gone. Because that version of Hollywood is going away. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes you just got to take a beat and be like, I don't want to be a part of it. But then also, like you said, like, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah.
Just
again,
chill. He's like, come on.
Like I said, he's an artist. Right. He's super emo too. So he's going to be sad. He's going to cry. And then he's going to get angry.
Yeah.
And then he's going to make a movie about it. So
exactly. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping for.
Fingers crossed.
Well, Courtney, it's been so much fun. Thank you for coming on. Where can people go to learn more about you and find some of the stuff you're working on?
Come to my apartment. Let's have a chat. Here's my address. I'm at It's Courtney Michelle on all platforms.
At It's Courtney Michelle.
Correct. Great. I'm trying to build my YouTube. I'm doing like some different sketchy stuff on YouTube in the upcoming months.
Sketchy stuff.
Yeah. A lot of nudity. A lot of hair in places you've never seen hair. No, like more sketch oriented with like all of my very way funnier than me friends.
Got it.
And we're doing some kind of different stuff that's
awesome.
Not on my platform. So excited about that.
At It's Courtney Michelle on all platforms. Go check out some of the stuff that Courtney has. Save it. Share it. Get the algorithm working for her. Courtney, this is awesome. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for spending some time with me and my friends. If you want to be better friends with me, then head over to travischappell.com/team to subscribe to my free newsletter, Your Friend Travis, where I share what's on my mind about life, building a business, raising kids, being married, and anything else I would normally share with my close circle of friends. That's travischappell.com/team. And my biggest ask of you, since I'm sharing my friends with you, is to share this episode with a friend of yours that hasn't listened to the show yet. Then leave us a quick 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts and in Spotify. It would mean the world to us as it helps us make sure that this show continues to be more valuable to you. Thanks in advance, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.